Two games this week. We'll start with Tuesday night at Morecambe. Kev O'Connell says it was a crucial win with some real positive performances. Simon was pleasantly surprised with the result. Should be in the playoffs now. Joe is hoping to see Thomas, Taberner, CBR and Long all back for the playoffs. He still sees the same problems as the last few weeks. Grant thought we controlled the second half after a tough first half against the wind. A well-taken goal, great game management, but a clear red card. Adam Turner thinks it'll be low-margin games from here to the end of the season now. Ian Perry wants a shout-out to Tom Booth, who is really settling into the number one spot at the moment. Neil Hulse thinks Boothie is looking better with every game, and we should look to keep that formation for the remaining games. Graham Miles thinks we will miss Lee if the red isn't overturned, but great to have Taberner back to show what we've been missing. Luke doesn't think the red will get overturned and describes it as the only negative. Tom Billsborough wants to take a moment to appreciate how good Zach is when played in his natural position of left of a three. He's been exceptional. Alex Smith describes it as solid, and Williams was much better tonight. Shame about Lee and his silly challenge. Henry Lewis says great work from Zach and a massive goal for Nev. Enjoyable to see us dominate the ball second half and look in control. H. Robinson agrees we were much the better side second half, much like the crew side of earlier this season. James Lindsay is thinking there is still time for the big man to reach 20 goals this season. Tom Mayle thought there was much more attacking intent and midfield cohesion, although still work to do in transitions. He likes going to Morecambe, we always seem to do well there. On to Saturday's home defeat by Grimsby. Trevor Griffiths thought it was the worst we played all season. Some players looked like they couldn't be bothered in the last 20 minutes. Paul Gregory agrees, an absolute shadow of the team we've seen over much of the season. Captain Britton says, in a word, toothless, and wants someone to work out how many goals we've scored from open play versus set pieces. It's not many by open play. Andy Griffiths said Grimsby were by far the better team and could have scored more. Rob Murray says we were outplayed, outfought and got what we deserved. James labels it a disgusting performance. No fight, no clue, no passion, no bottle. Rory says when we're bad, we're very bad. He would have subbed all 11 at halftime. Brad Budden says we have to work with what we've got, but no excuses for not doing the basics, i.e. passing and communication. James Bate says it doesn't get much worse than that. They're all knackered. It's a shame the season is ending like this. But Joe C says, even taking into account that we're down to the bare bones, that performance was pathetic. Ben Benson said the food bank from 1 to 3 was superb, 3 to 5 was appalling. He'd have cancelled man of the match. Nathan Yeomans is worried that we might ship 7 next week if we play like that, and Bob is going to wear sandals just in case he needs help to keep count. Chris Mason asks if we can opt out of the playoffs. Alexandra 6077 said we were second best all over the pitch, forget promotion. Profane says this is a problem with Crew's model which no manager can fix. Easy Alex thinks the response to the defeat is wild, playing with half a squad and the team is so different to the one that got us into this position. Liam is sticking to his thinking that this season is still a free hit after where we started this year. George thinks we won't go up even if we are in the playoffs, but adds the silver lining of another year would do these youngsters good. Hello and welcome back to the latest episode of the Railway Men podcast. To help us go through the Morecambe win and the Grimsby defeat, our panel today is Steve Davis. Hello, Steve.
Morning, Stu. Morning, everyone.
Mark Birtles. Hello, Mark.
Hello, everybody.
And Adam Brazendale. Hello, Adam.
Good morning, Stu. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for inviting me here this morning.
No problem. Now, this is your debut, so in tradition for the podcast, can you please tell us your Crew Alex credentials, please?
Well, I've been watching the Alex since the end of the 87-88 season. I attended my first game with my father and my brother. We were in the paddock, as was back then, with a group of hardcore paddikes. who would go most games home and away. I was part of the young junior res that John Ford used to run back in the day, going home and away games, playing games of footy before the game. It was brilliant. I used to thoroughly enjoy in my own little way representing Crewe somehow, in you know the likes of Scarborough and Grimsby and places like that, Halifax, etc. And then towards the latter part of my teens, I found it difficult to come to so many Crewe games just because of the work I was doing. I was working at the Cheshire Cheese in Shav, which most people used to know was a hotbed for sort of Crewe players going in there. They used to have their end of season dues in there, etc. So I found it difficult to go to many games. But then once I came out of the catering industry, I found more time to go games. And in the championship days, even found myself doing the commentary for Crewe DVDs, as it was back then, even some of the VHSs for the games, and then the Golden Goal compilations. So we did that for 12 years with my very good friend Francesco Baccellieri. And then just followed the Alex as much as I can with family commitments. And yeah, just been there ever since supporting the Alex.
Lovely stuff. Favourite player?
Somebody to choose from. I mean, if you give me an era, I could probably give you a player. I mean,
Neil
first
Sorval's player. Era, maybe?
You're trying to divert me down one particular path there, saying Neil Sorval. Well, I suppose in that era, there was a few players that I really enjoyed watching. Obviously, Rob Hulls, because he came from the same school as me, St. Thomas More. I also liked Steve Jones, Dean Ashton, when he was coming through. Earlier on, it would have probably been someone like Mark Gardner, because he had the mullet, he had the look, he had the sort of the stud earring. And then when he scored one of those amazing free kicks or volleys, he'd done a somersault, which was sort of a crew version of one of the JJ Kocher sort of flips that he would do type of thing. So, yeah, if you ask me to choose an era, then it's probably more easy to do that.
All right. We're going to go on to the game. Now, Mark, my first question for you is Saturday last week, a trip to Lancashire, a smallish ground, windy conditions, followed up on Tuesday, a trip to Lancashire, smallish ground, windy conditions. Did you have deja vu as you were getting out of the bus walking to the ground Tuesday night?
Yeah, it's. I have to question my own sanity at times, and that was one of the days. I think like everybody else, I spent most of my morning checking Twitter thinking that the game was going to be off because the rain was absolutely ridiculous. It had been all night. And Barrow lost their game quite early on and posted a picture of their pitch that resembled something like a swimming pool. And I could only see the same for us. But hats off to the ground staff at Morecambe because when we arrived there, as windy and as horrible as it had been, the pitch actually was immaculate.
Yeah, I'd agree with Mark. I was very concerned. In fact, I ran Morecambe up twice to check if they were going to have a pitch inspection because I heard nothing elsewhere from Crewe. But they were sort of bemused by the fact that we were calling up asking if there was a pitch inspection because, as Mark alluded to, when we got there, the pitch was perfect. In fact, it was probably one of the nicer pitches I've seen in sort of the rainy season that we've had in the last sort of 6 months or so.
Steve, the team sheet comes out. It's a move to a back three, Cooney and Farrow. Are you in favour of that formation?
Yeah, I think we'll probably get onto the game a bit longer. My initial thought when I was on the M6 when the team came out and the bench was a lot stronger, but there was options off the bench on Tuesday with Tabs and Kirk, and I think it certainly gave me a lift on the way up there after sort of having no one on the bench Saturday prior. So, yeah, that was the main take from the team, that the bench was, a lot stronger, but there was two senior pros on the bench, which is more than we had the week before. So, yeah.
Desperate times when two senior pros on the bench means we're stronger than we were before. Adam, first half, I wrote down in my notes, wind. I don't really think I added anything else. It wasn't a classic, was it, that first half?
Oh, and it seemed the wind a lot stronger than it did on the pitch than it did in the stands. It wasn't that windy in the stands, actually. But when you got down further towards the pitch, you really noticed how strong the wind was, similar to what it was yesterday. But no, we sort of tried. We tried to find runners in behind Nevitt, who seemed to be coming deep to collect the ball and do little quick flicks and get the runners in behind him. And we'd had one or two opportunities to get the ball in, which, you know, was okay. We were narrower because of the two strikers up front than we have been previously when we've employed wingers. But Tom Booth, he kept us in that half. You know, he produced a fine save.
I thought that it was one of the better saves that he's made in a crew top. In fact, when it looked good on the night, but I've seen it back, and it's an outstanding save because it's a good free kick. It's hard and low. It's drilled hard, but it goes around the wall, and he won't have seen that until the very last minute. And, you know, without sounding like a dick, I don't see Harvey Davies saving that. I think it was a stunning save, and he was really starting to look like an established number one. You know, I'd lost that sort of, you know, when the ball's bouncing around the 6-yard box and your heart's in your mouth thinking, are they going to drop a bollock? But that's gone from Tom Booth now. I feel confident when he's in the goal. So, yeah, really, really good save and an important one because it kept us in the game. And for me, I think the first half was really just an extension of the Accrington game. Like, there was no lack of effort, but it was just scrappy and not very good. And we didn't really create very much, but neither did they.
For me, it felt there was a bit more energy about us in the first half than there was at Accrington. And I don't know whether that was just because my mind only serves me back to the second half in Accrington where it was flat. But there did seem a bit more energy about them. Now, whether that was down to the formation that we were playing, I'm not too sure. But I wasn't pleased with the first half. I wasn't displeased, if that makes sense. You can say this through the whole game. We never, other than Booth's save, which was a good save, we never really looked under any pressure, really.
No, and Morecambe were better than Accrington, weren't they, by a long stroke? And I think that had a bit more energy because Morecambe were trying to score a goal, whereas Accrington really didn't feel like they were. They just sat back and were a horrible team. Morecambe were good. Morecambe were decent, actually. And they knocked it round well, and it was pretty even, I think, at half-time.
Well, it was a danger, wasn't he? And he had a few half chances and opportunities from distance. If you listen to their manager's interview, they were top class first half and should have put the game to bed. It didn't seem like that from a crew point of view. We did limit them to efforts outside of the box. And from what Mark was saying about that free kick, I'd even add to that, not only was it bent around the box low, it also seemed to bounce just before he got a hand to it as well, which made it even a better save than it looked on the night as well. You know, he sort of just bounced just before he got his hand to it as well. So I think he did exceptional with that save. It's one of the best saves I've seen this season.
Yeah, like I said earlier with my notes, I wrote down win. But then I did say, you know, similar to what Mark just said, I'm not really worried about the goalkeeping situation at this point. I think it's he's pretty much nailed down number one spot. Nothing for us to worry about for the rest of the season. That's what I wrote down Wednesday morning when I was going through the game. And then on Steve's point, I think we did control them really well at the back. I think we gave Charlie Brown their striker peanuts throughout the whole game.
Oh my God.
What's up, Mark?
It's just this podcast just become a pun fest.
Oh, very good.
I genuinely think we did well. And I don't know whether that is the switch to the five at the back or the three with the wing backs. But I thought we did well. Second half, with the wind not being an issue for us, I did think, Mark, we did start looking like not the crew that we're used to this season, but somewhere along the road towards that again.
Probably the best second half, or, well, best performance for 6 or 7 weeks, I think, that second half. As I've already alluded to, I thought Morecambe were decent without being outstanding, but you could see why they were knocking on the playoff door at that point. But second half, I think we nullified them completely and looked a lot more likely to score without ever making their keeper pull off save after save after save. But we were territory-wise, we were most certainly on top. And I never really felt that Morecambe were going to get one. It was always a case of whether we could convert a half chance when it came our way, and obviously in the end we did.
We should have scored before the goal. That was probably a better one, probably not a better chance, but the one for Holacek at the edge of the box, probably about 10 minutes before we scored, that for me, he should be scoring that. But yeah, you're right. I don't think we were opening him up. The keeper wasn't throwing himself around the goal, but we seem to, it's probably the most control we've had in the game, in any game for a long time. So
Mickey had one, didn't they? They almost had an identical chance and did the same thing, put it into the back of the stand, when really we should have been working the keeper.
Yeah, and it seemed like we were really high pressing in the second half as well. We contained into knocking the ball long or trying to knock the ball long, which we then, with the wind being in our favour, found it easier to deal with. The centre-backs, who I thought, you know, were immense. You know, it really did bode well to have Mickey with Zach as a left centre-back and Lewis as a right centre-back. And we looked, you know, like everybody was playing in their better positions, not trying to be forced into a position which they can play but don't really want to play. And I agree, I think the Holacek effort had all the hallmarks of the goal that happened, where you've almost got the run, you've got the go on, but we didn't have the rustling sound of the net, which we did with, obviously, when we scored the goal.
Yeah, we'll move on to that goal then, Steve. One of the things that playing three at the back is it does allow Zach the opportunity to do what he does like to do, which is go on his mazy runs from sort of left back, left of three centre backs. And, you know, that is a threat that teams aren't really expecting, I suppose.
Yeah, I've always thought this season when we've done well is when the players have, not just necessarily Zach, I think Mickey can do it as well to an extent, it is bring the ball out of the back and it sort of opens teams up, because like you say, they're not expecting it. Probably it's something we need to see more of, maybe reasons behind that. But yeah, it was a good run. Got him into position, and I think Tim put in the chat that he let go. Tim thought it was going to be a Roberto Carlos sort of strike. It didn't seem that way. But from sitting there thinking that we're never going to score, then it obviously just pops up to Nevitt. And I think the initial feeling when the ball went in was just pure relief, I think. Obviously, we haven't scored for what it seemed like forever, but let's not take it away from him. It was a good finish by Nev. He put it in high, keeper didn't really stand a chance. So, but yeah, relief, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it, Mark, since we scored a goal? You know, I missed last week, and I can't be, I'll be honest and say I can't really say I missed chatting about that Forest Green game or really the Accrington game, but it's been a while since we scored a goal.
Probably as mental as I've gone for a goal for quite a while. And if you're like me, you've watched the replays of it back over and over and over again, hearing the net clink when he wellies it in. And Steve's absolutely spot on. That's exactly what it was. It was relief. And I think if you listen to the roar when it hits the net, it sounds like relief from the away end. It was brilliant. And at that point, you know, you think it's a huge turning point for us. Not just in that game, but in the context of the season.
My 11-year-old actually cried when he scored, and I thought I'd hit him through sheer like pandemonium. And then he just turned around to me and said, "I'm just pleased we scored, Dad." So, I think that says it all.
Anyone that has read your "What Crew Alex Means to Me" piece, Steve, knows that you are raising a very, very good child who's got his priorities all correct, and that story only emphasises that more. There is something else we need to talk about before we finish this game. Lewis Lee, completely unnecessary, flying into a tackle that didn't really need to be even made. If only someone had predicted that this was a possibility, Mark.
Oh, here we go. Give yourself a pat on the back. Another one. Yeah, you're right. You did. You called it. I'm going to defend him a little bit, in as much as I don't think there was any malice in it. I think he got caught up in the moment, in the game. You know, anybody that hasn't watched that goal back should go back and have a look at the celebration in front of the fans from the players, because they were celebrating the same as we were. And I was hoping at that point it would put to bed some of the utter bullshit that I've been reading on social media recently about the players giving up and the club not wanting to go up and barely playing for draws. You know, go back and look at the celebration on that goal and you'll change your mind. And I just think that Lewis Lee got caught up in that because there's no other reason, is there, to make a tackle as wild as that in that position. I mean, at best, what did he do? He gave away a throw-in or won a throw-in. I just think he was, again, it was adrenaline pumping through him. I don't think he meant to hurt anyone. He didn't catch the guy. And he actually won the ball with his arse cheek. And if you watch back, the referee, the second he brandishes the red card, the player's up and absolutely fine. But as Dario used to say, when you make a challenge like that, then you give the referee a decision to make, and he made it quite quickly.
Yeah, for those who can't see the video, Mark is currently clutching straws with that.
Yeah, I was just about to ask Adam if he agreed or not, but
I agree. I think it was a wrestler, and it didn't need to be made. But what he showed in that one moment was more than was shown in a whole game, which, you know, was yesterday, for whatever reason. He put that much into that just to sort of emphasise what it emphasised what we missed against Grimsby, though the sort of the passion, the willingness, the wanting to win the ball high up, even if it is just a throw, that all was all missing on Saturday. And I feel sorry for him. He came out, he publicly apologised. Every single fan that I read a comment on X, formerly Twitter, said, no need to apologise. You know, you've been brilliant for us. And, you know, I as well responded that, you know, his tenacity, his skill, his willingness to bring the ball down and play, not just, you know, play head tennis or he wants to receive the ball in tight spaces. He's a crew type player. And I think he is going to be missed like so many other players have been and will continue to be in this run-up to what we hope will be a playoff place.
For what it's worth, I think it's a dickhead challenge. In the context of where we are, not only did it... He didn't need to do it. And I love Lewis Lee, don't get me wrong. I think his energy is brilliant. Adam's right, he is a crew-type midfielder. But they're 80 yards from goal with a minute to go, what, 5 minutes to go. Not only did he put... in fair play to the players, because they didn't... Well, there wasn't really much pressure, but they dealt well with going down to 10 men. But with Fred Bear, like, it's just another... He's out for four games, isn't he? Because he gets sent off for Bromley. So in the context of it, it's just a... He is young and he will learn, but such a... Yeah, he didn't... I don't think he needed to do it.
It was like Luke Offord running around and putting that tackle in earlier in the season and him getting sent off. It was that type of challenge where, you know, Luke Offord's going to do it. He doesn't need to do it. And he does it and gets booked or sent off. It was that type of challenge.
Let me be quite clear, Stu. I'm not condoning his challenge for a second. You called it right, Stu, when you called it right. And, it was a red card because I think he left the ground. What I'm saying is I don't think he did it because he's a vindictive player and it was to get one over on somebody. I just think it was extremely naive.
It's a young boy's challenge, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. He didn't go in there to hurt the lad. It's just a young boy's challenge that unfortunately we're going to feel a pinch of for the next however many games.
Yeah, I think I'm more on where Steve is. I think it just didn't need to be made. It's just costing us players we haven't got. But the last thing I want to make a point on about this game before we move on to Saturday's horror show. Joel Taberner, Steve, it's nice to have him back. And I thought the 10 minutes, 12 minutes or so that he got, it shows us, you know, what we've been missing, got on the ball, created a couple of things.
Yeah, I'll probably say this time and time again, but it's a hill I'll die on. We're a better football team with a Crew Alexandra midfielder in there. I know Mattis has played in there, but yeah, Taberner is probably a class above, isn't he, in terms of midfielders that we've got available. So it's good to see him back. What we don't want to do is obviously give him too much work to do. You know, we want to try and keep him as fit as we can for however long the season's got left. So, but it was good to see. Like I say, the bench was, with two senior pros on there, was an improvement from the Saturday before.
I'd like to add that we actually missed one of them who made a crucial impact as well. Aaron Rowe came on. He was the other senior pro on the bench, and he made a huge impact coming off the bench for Tracy. He had a lot of energy. He really got stuck in. He emphasised what we were missing in the Saturday game as well. You know, he was just throwing himself around. He was getting tussles off the pitch with their defenders who were twice the size of him, but he didn't shirk for those, and he really got, you know, a few slaps in and off the ball sort of things in that really emphasised what we were going, and that led to, I guess, some of the sort of things we saw with Lewis later on, where they got caught up in that after the goal.
He is the best player at the football club, though, don't forget.
On his day, only on his day. Right. Normally, after a Tuesday game, the next place we go to is the Saturday game. But Adam, I don't know whether you're like me, started to see rumours online that the goalkeeper might be an issue for Saturday's game. And then it turned out that was the case. Saturday's team sheet came out and we've got a player no one knew was a Crewe player.
When it came out, the team sheet, but not on the Twitter one, we looked at on the Google one in the Railway Man Lounge, me and a friend, we actually refreshed the page because we thought there was a mistake that they'd actually put in a player from another club that we'd never heard about. But then when we looked at the Twitter page, we're like, no, he is going to be playing for us. And who is he? And what, you know, what, who, and why as well? Because obviously, you know, yes, it looked great that Tom was doing well, but then we know that Harvey Davis hasn't been on the bench for the last two games. Kieran Westwood's contract, it seems, has run down. It doesn't look like they're going to go down that route again. So we've got a 17-year-old on the bench and no cover. So, yeah, this name appeared, and we're like, surely that's a glitch somewhere on some sort of algorithm, and they've messed it up, and we're just, you know, who is, you know, we're sure it's Tom Booth.
Steve, I'm going to leave you to try and pronounce his name because I haven't heard it enough yet to be confident I'm saying it right. But looking at the Wickham fans, they seemed a combination of disappointed that he'd been allowed to go and telling us that we'd got a good player on our hands.
Yeah, before 3 o'clock on Saturday, I wasn't too sad. I mean, it sums up our season, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? We're three games away from the end of the regular season and we still can't even keep a goalkeeper fit. You know what I mean, just to add to the ever-growing list, but I think credit where it's due. The management obviously knew about this, and they've pulled. They've got an experienced goalkeeper. The guy's played 38 times in League One this season, so I can't pronounce his name. I probably can't even remember his name if I'm honest. But kudos for the management team for getting him, because there's probably not many better keepers we'd get with on a 7-day loan like that. So yeah, kudos to them.
Mark, Steve's just alluded to that, but I don't really believe in things like curses or anything like that, but it does feel very much like the season we're having where, you know, Tom Booth has got himself into a position where people are confident, people are happy, people can see the progress he's making, and then all of a sudden, he's out.
You can't write this season. You couldn't script it. I honestly think at some point someone's walked past a mirror on, at Gresty Road and knocked it onto the floor and it's smashed into a million pieces. For people that don't know, he apparently pulled his hamstring making a save on Tuesday night when the physio came on to him. People at the club have told me that they're surprised he was able to finish the game. I mean, when do goalkeepers pick up hamstring injuries, really? Apparently that's the same injury that Harvey Davis has got. I don't think we're going to see either of them again before the end of the season. To answer the Westwood thing, we opted to only sign him for that month. And I'm led to believe that now you at this stage of the season, you're not allowed to sign anyone that's unattached to a club. So that ruled him out. He's still there. He was on the pitch yesterday warming the keepers up. So that was a club decision to not keep him on. And yeah, and the guy from Wickham was signed late on Thursday night. I think he arrived on Friday. And it's not the best start for any player, but particularly a goalkeeper. And it's not great for the back four. You know, they don't know him. He doesn't know them. But like Steve, you know, I shared the Wickham tweet because the comments were very complimentary about him. But that quickly disappeared after the first goal.
Well, I think Mark said something that was just factually incorrect. It wasn't just a broken mirror. I think the person carrying the mirror was walking under a ladder while seeing a black cat cross in front of them, because the pure, like you say, another muscular injury. And like you say, when do goalkeepers get hamstring injuries? They don't. They tend to sort of get bashes and broken bones and collarbones and arms and legs because of the type of
Punctured lungs, that sort of
punctured
thing.
lungs. Yeah. But it just goes along with the whole curse that we seem to have that you alluded to, Stuart, on the club with injuries at the moment. And Lee Bell is certainly, frustrated. He mentioned it in his interview yesterday, and he said, we're not going to blame injuries, but I don't think you can blame a manager who's had so many bad injuries over a season to be frustrated. I think we're frustrated with it.
I want to get onto the game in a minute, but just a quick word. We should mention this. Steve, it was the return of Dave Artell to Gresty Road. From where I was sitting, which is in my living room watching on a laptop, it sounded like he got a decent reception.
Well, he was banned, wasn't he? So he didn't walk down the touchline. I don't want to give my little boy any royalties here, but he said he was going to go down at the start of the game and obviously wish him good luck, sort of thing, and say thank you. But then he just appeared in the director's box for about 2 minutes to three. So I know Callum mainly got a good reception when his name was mentioned on the bench, and he obviously got applauded on. But I think if Artal would have walked down the touchline, there would have been a warm reception for him. As I left the ground earlier than usual yesterday, he was sat in his seat looking very smug. So that probably wouldn't have been reciprocated at the end. But
You sat
can't
next
really
to
blame him.
Charles.
He wasn't sat next to Charles, no, funnily
Oh.
enough.
The tannoy, the guy on the tannoy, gave him a shout and welcomed him back. And he got a really good round of applause, really good. At no point did I hear anything derogatory aimed towards him. I actually didn't see him with my own eyes. I didn't see him sneak into the director's box. I don't know where he came from. And unfortunately, as soon as the third goal went in, I was up and on my way out, swearing under my breath.
Okay, I'm going to break with normal pod tradition now. Normally, we like to go through these games as they happen. I'm just going to skip to the end. Adam, it sounds like Steve and Mark both left the game early yesterday. I did something that I've never done before since starting this podcast or before. I closed my laptop before the full-time whistle yesterday. It was bad. Do we want to start with how and why it was bad, or do we want to start with the extenuating circumstances that we are threadbare? These are 11 players that are the only 11 we can get, and they are knackered. Where do we want to start with yesterday's performance?
Well, they are threadbare, that's a fact. So let's start maybe with the facts. When you've got, as an emergency loan goalkeeper coming in, I think that tells you everything you need to know about our current situation. And we didn't have a great deal to come off the bench to change anything. One fit senior pro on the bench. You're playing with what you've got, and you have to go with where you think it's going to be the best positions, given that you've just won away as well with that formation. Some fans were saying that maybe we should have played three in midfield at home rather than two. And my argument was, well, who's the other midfield you're going to put in there? Or you put anybody in there? Well, it doesn't work like that. And I think we kept tried to keep the same formation. We tried to keep narrow. But yeah, it was just everything that was good in that second half against Morecambe was missing in the whole of that game.
I think that, I mean, first of all, I'm sure you have done that before, Stu. When did you say this season or ever? So you never did it in the relegation season.
Never did it in the relegation season because I didn't
Okay.
want to tweet out that, oh, we've lost 3-0 and it was 3-1 or something stupid like that.
Okay,
And
fair enough.
I don't leave games early either. I just don't.
I very rarely do it myself, but there was a mass exodus on the third goal, and I mean a mass exodus. And I don't think let's put it into context. It's not a 2-0 up at home in a relegation battle game where you lose 4-2 bad. It's just disappointing. I think the people that are venting anger on social media, and there's lots of them, it's just frustration coming out, because it's been such an amazing season and it looks like we've run out of steam. We look, Alex used the term last night, spent. I think we are a spent force. Now, obviously, injuries and circumstances have dictated that, but it doesn't take away from how good the season's been. The season's been amazing, and none of us wanted it to end the way that it looks like it's going to. And that includes the boardroom and the manager. You know, people saying on social media, the board don't want us to go up. Really? There's £1 million difference between this league and the league above. It's like ludicrous, and that we've somehow given up. My disappointment with yesterday is that I thought the 11 players that started were capable of putting in a better performance than they did. And I still think that now. I thought that Belly's substitutions were strange. We're at home. Really, we needed a minimum of a point, but ideally a win. And when you take Rowe and Kirk off, and both of them were ineffective. Let's have it right. They were. You know, Kirk's been a massive letdown. They were ineffective, but when you put Charlie Finney on, and he was the other one, they look like kids playing against men, and that's effectively what they are. I thought Matas Holecek looked spent. I think, you know, when you first get into the team, when he came in at Stockport, I think he's been running on adrenaline and that young exuberance, and that looked like it had run out yesterday. We were awful. Absolutely awful from beginning to end. We couldn't pass to each other. They managed the conditions much better than us. And, you know, they did a job on us and they did it really well. And let's have it right. 3-0 in the end flattered us. It could have been a whole lot more. I remember him hitting the bar. They missed chances that they should have scored. I feel totally deflated today. I'm really, you know, I don't know how Lee Bell is going to pick them up from this. If we go on to achieve promotion, he'll need manager of the decade, never mind manager of the season. With everything that he's had to deal with, it just feels like it's fizzling out. And I think that's the worst possible end to the season.
It's interesting you mentioned that it looked like boys against men. Parts of the game actually reminded me of our under-21s playing against Congleton in the semi-final of the Cheshire Cup. We were that bad. It was just like, it was almost like we didn't want any of the physicality. And I don't know, again, we're talking about ifs, buts and maybes of why the game ended like this. But it looked like none of the players wanted to get hurt. And you've got to look at this and think, those 11 players that are fit know that they're the last 11 players that are fit. They're not daft. They know this. So are they going to be going in challenges like Lewis did on Tuesday? Are they going to, you know... It almost was like it was got the ball. They didn't want it, and they were trying to pass it as quick as they can before a player came in and put a challenge in on them. It was like a hot potato. They just wanted to get shot. And if that meant passing it to one of their players, that's what we were doing. Nobody was prepared to hold the ball, you know, get a bit of physicality, a bit of rough and tumble. Nobody. Nobody wanted to go in for a header that might have been the 50-50 and get a challenge. Nobody. And that goes from Mickey to Zach to anybody at the back three there. And I believe that it was almost like we've done the job against Morecambe. We're in the playoffs. Let's not get anybody injured. We need everybody fit now if we are going to play these playoff games. And it just seemed that, I wouldn't even say it was a pre-season friendly type game. It was worse than one of those.
We got a really good crowd in. And I don't know if you two noticed, but just before the players came out the tunnel, both the Cresty Road End and the main stand were singing, and the atmosphere sounded amazing. And I got, you know, it's one of those moments where the hair stands up on the back of your neck and you think, this is brilliant. This is absolutely amazing. This is how this ground should be, you know, coming out to a wall of noise. And then they came out and delivered that.
Well, I'm still in shock that the hairs on the back of your neck stood up, to be fair. That would have been a moment of the season for me to see anyway. I think, and I spoke to Mark at half-time yesterday.
Just before you get going on a serious point, you know those people that lose limbs but then can always feel like itching or tingling?
Fucking hell,
That's how Mark feels with his hair. Carry on, Steve.
sorry, Mark. I spoke to Mark and Trev yesterday at half-time, and I don't know... Right, let's get this right. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances, why we didn't win yesterday. There's 40-odd other teams that didn't win football matches yesterday in a football league. Yeah? However, not one of them was as bad as us in terms of effort and commitment. One thing that I never thought I'd ever label at this team, and I said it after Mansfield, that when we were under the cosh, I wouldn't want anyone else out there, yeah, to defend a 1-0 lead away from home. I never expected yesterday that side, them same group of players, to fold and not lift a leg as much as that. That them sort of performances get other managers sacked. Because let's have it right, whatever the injury situation is, whatever's gone on before that, them 11 players are probably still... Don't forget, Grimsby had their best player went off after 10 minutes with an injury. Them 11 players are still better than what that Grimsby side are. So it's putting that performance yesterday. And as much as I love this team, that was right shambolic.
But if you don't have that... And this is what I was alluding to yesterday when I was asked by my partner who's saying, well, why is it we're not playing better? And if you're not putting in the challenges, if you're not winning the second balls, if you're not going to the 50-50, it doesn't matter how skillful you are, none of that counts or anything if you're not going to match them for effort. And I go back to what I was saying earlier. I truly believe those 11 players think, we are it. There is no other reinforcements coming in. We're not going to be able to sign anybody else. We are it. We are literally the last 11. And I honestly believe that played heavily on their minds. It might not have been on the manager's mind. They might not have, you know, verbalised that. But certainly, those players would have known that they are vital now. If we've got any chance or any hope of competing in the playoffs, they've got to be ready for that. It's almost like we don't need these games now and that the season needs to end.
I do think there's an element of we are stuck between a rock and a hard place. We knew a few weeks ago we weren't going to get promoted automatically. So it's a sort of, it is a mentality thing. Let's not lose that place in the playoffs. And maybe that does cascade onto the pitch, especially with the numbers that we've got. So maybe that is a contributing factor, but the numbers aren't looking great. Like if you look at our home form, like last 2023, we lost 4 home games. One was against Orient, who went up, and we lost to Stockport and Barrow, who Stockport have won the league, Barrow in the playoffs. We also lost to Grimsby. We're in April. We've lost 4 games at home already this year, calendar year. Salford are bottom half. Morecambe will be chucked away. Forest Green will be in the National League, and we lost to Grimsby yesterday. So the numbers aren't looking great. Like it's, yeah, there's a big mentality shift one way or the other.
Whatever way you dress it up, you've just alluded to it, Steve. We are in the top 7 and Grimsby are in the bottom 4 for a reason. And we weren't out football. They didn't run rings around us. In fact, they were quite an old school type team. There was no attempt to play out from the back. They just worked hard and bullied us. And however hard we worked, which wasn't very, they worked harder. And ultimately, I mean, I can take losing. I don't think it's the fact that we lost. I think it's how we lost, which we've said a lot of times on here this season. I think it's the manner of the defeat, because you need to go into the playoffs with some kind of momentum, don't you? You know, at the moment, I said it last night in the pod chat, at the moment, you look at the league table, the favourites to win the playoffs, I would suggest, is Doncaster, and they're not even in the playoff places because they've had a ridiculous amount of games unbeaten and look like they're coming like a train. As I understand it, there's only Long and Connor Thomas that we are going to see again before the end of the season. And I think that includes the playoffs. So we've got what we've got. My concern is, I agree with you both completely, by the way, around they don't want to get injured. And obviously I go on about psychology all the time. But I don't know how you overcome that as Lee Bell. I don't know what he does on Monday. You know, do you take him out of football training now between games? We're not going to train. Do we just give him a break from football? Go and play golf or something? I don't know.
I wouldn't want him playing golf because the hamstrings will be pinging everywhere. They look weird, Evan.
You know what I mean?
I wouldn't have him in. I generally wouldn't have him in until Thursday.
I was thinking about it last night. I mean, what I would do personally is go and sit the players down in the room all together and say, right, okay, this is the position we're in. What do you lot think is the best way to go through it? How do you feel that we are best equipped to play? You know, and have an open forum. I'm not saying that the players pick the team and pick the formation, but they need to have an input. And I'm not saying that they don't already because I don't know how it works. I am literally trying to come up with anything to try and save the season. Because if we're going to get in the playoffs, and it looks like we're going to get into them by default, because I think there's still a 6 points gap, and it would take a significant goal, I think.
Ironically,
that would be more than being defaulted. We've earned it earlier in the season. We've just had our stutter at the end of the season.
Yeah, of course. That's probably the wrong way to win it, but you know what I mean?
We lose both
games and still get in the playoffs. My point is, if we're going to be in the playoffs, then we might as well have a crack at it. You know, it's basically a three-game season. I'm trying to think of ways that we can galvanise the group again, get back some of that never-say-die attitude and never-beaten attitude. Because whatever that was, and I don't know what it was, whether it was confidence, whether it was togetherness, whether it was team ethic, whether it was just enjoyment, I don't know. But I do know it's gone. It's completely gone.
Well, I look at it, again, like you do, Mark, from the sort of psychology side of it. I mean, that's the field I work in. And I almost akin it to, if you went to work and you were at work and you were in a team at work, and you'd always have that colleague who, you know, did all right, they did okay, but they weren't really pulling up any trees. They were just, you know, it was a job. And then you'd have your sort of team members who'd go that extra distance, and you'd have those ones that would, you know, just be stars. Your day would be better if the office was full of all those people around you that your hand up there, that were all there. You know, I'm not saying those players that are coming in aren't not wanting to try, but if you're thinking, well, they're all off ill and we're down to the bare bones and it's just down to me, you're going to be burnt out. You know, Mickey Demetrio, Rio Edebisi, how many games have they actually missed this season?
You know, that's not template, no.
I don't think they're on fumes. I think they're literally just, I don't know. I don't know how they do it. They're like robots.
I think the players, and I thought this after Accrington, and the Morecambe thing gave me a little bit of hope, but I think the manager's cut. I think he, and through no fault of his own, it's his first 4 year in management. He will learn a lot from this year. Yes. It's dangerous and that, but I think he will learn a lot about himself. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think he's cut. The players, you clearly see are cut. If you look at that team yesterday who started, if you say everyone is fit in that mad world that we would live in, how many would you say would start if everyone was fit? You're probably looking at Mickey and Rio and Nev. You're looking at three players from the team that
you've both raised a really good point indirectly, actually, and it needs to be made. If you're looking around you and the, without being disrespectful, the better players are injured, the more influential players are injured, it would be extremely easy to phone the manager up on a Friday or a Saturday morning and say, Gaffer, my hamstring's tight, the calf's gone, don't really feel it today, you know, I've got an upset stomach. They are taking the pitch. They are taking part in the games. Now, they didn't take part in it very well yesterday. But when you talk about players like Mickey and Nev and Rio, they've not missed many games. You know, they deserve massive amounts of credit for that. I think there's no point in chastising anybody, whether it's the management or the players. It is what it is. The injuries are what they are. You can say it's an excuse. It's not an excuse, but it is a factor. It is real. They are facts. They are injured, you know, and the players that are missing are so good. They're the best players that we've got, I would argue. And that's a good point. There probably would only be three that maybe Zach would make it. We just need to get behind them for the last two games. And then, you know, the playoffs then become a lottery, I suppose.
My only hope is, this is probably the positive side of me, is we get... I mean, it's not confirmed we're in the playoffs yet. We could finish, that game could finish next Saturday, and Doncaster, what are they, 6 points behind us at the minute? 8 points behind us?
Six.
They could still be 6 points behind us at half two next Saturday with two games in hand. So it's not the I's and the I's start again. The T's, anyway, it's not complete, put it that way.
The T's aren't crossed and the I's aren't dotted.
That's correct, Mark. Yeah, couldn't agree more. So it's not a certainty that we're in there. But what I'd like to think, and maybe naively, that once we are in there, any sort of pressure's lifted because we deserve to be in the playoffs, don't we? I think someone said we've been in the playoffs since the start of September. We came out for 2 days after 72 hours after Newport. So let's get it right. We do deserve to be in the playoffs. And for me, if it finishes in the playoffs and we lose home and away to whoever, then we start a great season. Let's not be wrong with that. But I'm just hoping that if we get in there, any sort of tiredness or mental tiredness goes away, and yeah, we can start looking a bit just fresher. That in, hopefully,
actually, before you jump in quickly, because I'm quite proud of that. We went into the top seven after we beat Forest Green on the 9th of September, 4-1 away. And we dropped out when we lost to Newport on the 29th of December. Because by the time 5 o'clock rolled around on New Year's Day, we'd beaten Bradford and we were back in. So we absolutely deserve to be in there. So we may as well have a crack at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just got one little last bit I want to sort of talk about. And I'll give you my opinion and then I'll ask for yours. Something we raised at the start of the season and we sort of moved away from, but I think it is worth remembering. Gab Sutton, friend of the pod, 18th place. Not the top 20, 21st place. Various others that I can't remember off the top of my head. Bottom six. That's where they all had us this year. They looked at Lee Bell, said he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not an experienced manager. They've just promoted a youth coach. They've taken the cheap, easy way option. And their players finished top of the bottom last year, and they've lost a few good players like Dan Ajai. I didn't see it that way. I thought I'd seen enough from Lee Bell last year to see that he knew what he was doing. I thought we'd recruited well. You know, we took Crawley's best player. We took one of Newport's best players. We brought them to Crewe. And I said in my pre-season prediction article for the website, I wrote, I'm on holiday. I'm having a nice time. I've had two beers. No one's lost a game of football yet. I'm as optimistic as I possibly can be. I can see Crewe finishing seventh. That was me at my most optimistic for this season. So it does bear in mind to just remember that. And then I've also seen recently that a few people online, and I get it, emotions are high after you've just watched a team that you support and love lose. People saying, oh, I don't even want to be in the playoffs. We're going to be embarrassed on TV. That, to me, goes so far against what I think supporting a football team is that it just doesn't make sense. And I'll tell you why, and then you can agree or disagree with me. You want your team to be as high as possible. You know, next year, I don't want to be in the same divisions as teams like Forest Green, Sutton, the team from Burslem. I don't want to be in that division. I want to be as high as possible. If we have an opportunity to get there, then let's do that. The playoffs are ridiculous. You know, if we play two games, we play one game really well and then we play one game okay. We're at Wembley and then we're one game away from promotion and a great day out. And the other thing is, if it goes wrong in the playoffs and we don't go up and, you know, we lose in the semi-final, when Lee Bell, Josh Kennard and Ryan Dicker are trying to recruit people for next season to say, look, you're the one who's going to make us get over the line and get promoted this year, surely the players are going to listen to the team that was in the playoffs last year over a team that didn't finish in the playoffs. So the idea that we wouldn't be in the playoffs, and that's probably a better thing, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I wholeheartedly agree, Stu, if I'm honest. This whatever, if we do get in the playoffs and whatever happens, you've also got to remember, like, I don't want to sound like Nigel Atkins here, but the journey that we've had this season, like, it might not end where we all want it to be and where we all thought it was going to end up in February. But for those that have been the games, you can't take away the nights at Derby, Mansfield, Barrow, Stockport. Like, Mark and I, we've all been supporting this club a long time. And I can't remember a season where we've had as many good times, performances as we have done this season. So whatever happens, I think when the dust settles, end of May, whenever, we've all got to be proud of what's happened this season from managers to players, because it's been a good season. Yeah, it's probably going to end, and you know, we're all frustrated now, and it's, you know, the tide's turned a bit, but them first 7 months were something else, weren't they? And I think we've got to remember that, and next season hopefully we can build on it. I think recruitment's been bang on. We probably need to look at muscle injuries maybe, but yeah, let's not forget what we've done this season and how far we've come.
I'm just looking now, so this isn't from memory, but from the 28th of November to the 29th of December, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We didn't win a football match for 7 games. And I don't know about you, but I certainly didn't rock up to Gresty Road on New Year's Day expecting to beat Bradford. It came out of nowhere. It was deserved, but no one was expecting that day. After that, we won 4 games on the spin before we had that defeat against Salford, which we just sold Conor O'Riordan. And then Matt Smith did what Matt Smith does. And then after that, we went on another unbeaten run of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 before the Morecambe game that we chucked away. So who knows? You know, effectively, the season starts from scratch once the playoffs start. It's a bit like a cup tie, isn't it? All form goes out the window, potentially. You know, I know I've alluded to Doncaster having a run. That historically, it shows that quite often the team that nips in at the last minute goes on to win them with momentum. But absolutely, Stu, you know, if we may as well have a shot at it. You're right, we play well once, we do not so well in the other. We could be at Wembley. And who doesn't want a day out at Wembley? You know, we may as well go for it. And that was kind of what I was alluding to. You know, I at no point last night was I angry. I was just completely deflated on my arse, because it's so disappointing, having had such a good season. But that was the point I was trying to make, is the last 2 games, we may as well just get behind them and just see. And then hopefully have some kind of mental reset before the first leg of the playoffs. You know, get some kind of initiative going where on social media, where we try and fill the ground, do what we can to enhance the atmosphere for the first leg or second leg, which, you know, whichever one we're at home for, and just embrace it. You know, I don't know what, I can't remember what my prediction was, but I know that I wanted to finish above 13th. Because it would have been an improvement on last season. So this has surpassed all my expectations. So we may as well just see. We may as well go run with it and see. You know, it's a 3-game season. If you'd have offered anybody that at the start, I think that they would have taken it. It's not an accident, by the way, that Stockport, Wrexham and Mansfield are going to finish in the top three. They've got the most money. Over a season, That's what happens. And ultimately, the fact that it's squad depth that's cost us. The injuries have been horrific, and we haven't got a massive squad. And when you're sort of down to the Charlie Finneys and Adjuses with 3 games to go, you know you're in a mess. But we may as well back, and we may as well enjoy it. It's going to be a big crowd next week, and then there's a load of us going to Colchester on the last day. So let's enjoy it.
Yeah, and I totally agree with all of you, particularly your point about what it is to be a fan. I think next week there's going to be a lot of people there who probably haven't come to a lot of games prior to the mini-season ticket offer, that are secretly there to see if they can get a glimpse of maybe a famous actor or two. Not necessarily will be going to the Colchester games, Mark. Not necessarily have been to Accrington, Gillingham and all those games that we've mentioned where we still went even though we were not doing our best. And is it any surprise, really, that when we go away from home, the fans are up for it and the players react? Yet when we've got 5,500, 6,000 there, there's almost, as you say, at the beginning, an expectation. But then, who are the fans really singing at the end, carrying on singing? They're the hardcore early away games. And that's what it's about being a fan. It's not just about celebrating the big moments. It's getting behind them when we're not doing well as well. Because that's what it is to be a fan, to support. Not pick and choose, not to just say,
you know, entertain me, and I've got a right to be here because I paid my money. Your support doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't start when you pay your money for the ticket. In fact, that's the easiest thing to do. The hardest thing to do as a fan is to carry on going despite what the results are and put your full effort behind supporting the players. Like we did at Morecambe. Yeah, you know, Elliot Nevitt came out and said, didn't he? You know, when the fans were singing my name, I went that extra mile. We saw that. What does booing do to the players? You know, they're already on the knees. They've got nothing else in the tank. Booing's just like kicking them while on the floor, in my opinion. And I did vocalise a few choice words at the end of the game when I heard people booing and tell them to go and play and go and watch a team down the road if that's what they want to do, because I don't want to hear that, my team. I'll never boo them.
They're quite good at booing them, the team down the road at the moment. They're getting a lot of practice in. Right, I think I'm going to end there. Just because I think we've reached a point where I think that's where we are right now. We've got a game coming up next week. It's against a team that is sort of a rival, depending, I think, on the generation you belong to. So that's what we're going to do next. Mark, Wrexham at home. It's a big game for a few reasons. It's probably not as big as it could and should have been, though, now, based on Saturday's results.
It depends which way you look at it. I know what you're saying. It would have been great if it had been us and them vying for that third automatic promotion spot. Or maybe, you know, when we walked off the field at Stockport, you could have said it might have been a game that decided who won the league at that point. You know, we were that good. And just as a side note, look at that team from that night and look who's missing from it. But it's still a big game. It's a big game for everything that Adam's just said and Steve and yourself. You know, we aren't guaranteed a playoff place. I think it would take an enormous swing now for us to miss out. And it, the chances of those factors happening are quite remote, but we aren't in there mathematically. So it is a big game. It's the last home game of the season, the regular season. So it's a big game. It is a rivalry. I don't hate Wrexham anywhere near as much as I hate that team up the road in Burslem, but it's still a rivalry. I've still been around Crewe long enough that back in the day, it was a real, real grudge match. And let's be honest, I don't want those bastards coming and taking over Gresty Road next week and turning it into their day and their celebration. It would be great to beat them and pipe them down and make them wait another week to have their little party. So it's a huge game. And the, you know, there's going to be a good crowd, a really good crowd. And most of those people, if not all, we will potentially want to come back for the first leg of the playoffs or the second, depending on which way around it goes. But we will. We'll want them back. So let's make the atmosphere loud. I've heard that one or two things are going to be happening. I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, the club are going to try and make it an event. So let's all turn up. Let's enjoy it. And hopefully the team will see it the same and just think, let's have a stab at this. Let's have it right. We should have beaten them there. So there's no reason that we can't beat them next weekend.
Steve, you excited for this one?
Not really, if I'm honest. However, well, Cheshire Police have ruined it for a start, but that's a different story. It could be the sort of game that the players need, all joking apart. You know, they're on the knees. You know, they are cooked, but, you know, there's going to be a big crowd. But they just got promoted. Like it or not, they're the team that everyone wants to beat in this league. So I'm hoping with all that, it'll just give the players a lift. I don't like them. I'd love to put one past them. I think we owe them from the start of the season. We should have won that game. But yeah, I actually think it might be the game that the players need.
And you mentioned the sort of generational point there. You know, my dislike of Wrexham goes back to when Danny Murphy had a pigeon and Mickey Thomas was having sexual relationships with all of his close family. Some of the chants we used to sing back in the day. I dislike him because of what they've become, like the rest of football has become. And I'd love, I'm going to get me Kevin Keegan, I'd love us to beat them. And to, yeah, put a spanner in their works about the celebrations and all the sort of paparazzi that will be there, and you know, all the sort of glitz, and because you know, this is, they are what football isn't about, in my opinion. You know, lots of their supporters that will be there today wouldn't have been there when Mickey Thomas was playing, you know, because they've been, they can't get a ticket for the game because they probably couldn't afford a season ticket to get one of those. And I just think, you know, little crew, as we still are, you know, are going to be fight up against a team, as Mark alluded to, with a budget, you know, four times the size of ours. And I just think, wouldn't it be great if we could just, you know, get one over them, you know, even a draw, just to sort of, you know, just make it a bit of a nothing affair for them, because a draw would certainly help us in our final position in the league, and you know, hopefully steady the ship a little bit.
If we get a result that confirms a playoff place, and it will be us celebrating.
Exactly,
and then we can go and enjoy the last game away at Colchester. And let's have it right. You know, and people are going to, if anybody from Wrexham listens to this, they're going to point at me and say I'm all bitter and jealous, but I don't really care. in terms of getting back under their own steam as a football club themselves, how did that go before two rich businessmen from America came toddling along? They couldn't get back out. They were down there for, what, over 10 years. In the meantime, we've carried on under our own steam, doing it our way. We've never been in the National League. No. And we're now just behind them in this league for all the money that they've got. So,
despite that, yeah.
So I don't like them either for that reason. And at some point in the future, you know, they'll get fed up and disappear, and Wrexham will come back to where they belong. But yeah, it could end up being a double celebration next week, which would be nice. So, you know, I just think we should just embrace it.
I'm quite good at disassociating myself from things that I don't like. If I don't like something, I ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. That's sort of where I am with Wrexham. And I'm pretty good at that. And then the pizza trophy or the Bristol Vehicle Cup, whatever it's called, the game we played against them, and no one turned up in the home end. Well, more people turned up than I thought they would, but not many. And I can't remember the lady's name, but let's go with Janet from Montana. She put something on my Twitter saying, I can't believe more Crew fans haven't taken advantage of going to go and see Wrexham. That's when I thought, get. That's when I lost it. Like, as if big old Wrexham coming to Gresty Road was this big carnival that we should all be grateful for. And, you know, they won't be here forever. They'll be playing Arsenal and Man United soon, and take advantage of seeing them while you can. Again, get. That's when I lost it. So I don't really care, you know, all power to them. We are what we are. I'm proud to support the team. I'm proud to support them for the reasons that I do. I was born in Crewe. We've got an amazing academy. We play our way of football. We play our footballers. And nothing's going to ever take that away from me and from us. That's essentially my viewpoint. Mark, let's move away from these guys. What's the score going to be?
I will go for a 1-1.
Steve?
I'm hoping they've been on the lash all week, if I'm honest. I think we'll lose 3-2.
Oof, Steve. And Adam?
I hope we have a boring 0-0, and that the season end for Netflix series will be, oh, that was a bit of a damp squib. So yeah, I'm going to go for 0-0.
All right. I spoke to Nathan from Rob Ryan Red podcast to get his thoughts on the season and the game. Hi, Nathan. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, delighted to be. Well, we thought we were going to be on in different circumstances, geeing up this big, big game, but now I'm delighted to be back on.
Yeah, from your perspective, I imagine you don't really care that this game doesn't mean much. So I'll start with my first question: have you come down from yesterday yet?
It's just a phenomenal achievement, and you know, our phone, or mine and Rich both do the podcast, our phones have just exploded really with notifications, as you'd expect, lots of really great messages. And you know what, I you know, I'm objective enough, I think, to say that this is what I expected from Wrexham. I predicted they'd finish second, and they finished in the automatic promotion places, so it's not the greatest surprise in the world. I don't want that to sound arrogant, but they've spent heavily and should be where they are. But it's, you've still got to do it. You know, you know, like many football fans, it's not a given. You know, look at Salford. They spent heavily when they came up and didn't do it. And back-to-back, we've never gone back-to-back in our entire history. So, you know, it is a phenomenal achievement. And to do it in such style as well, you know, 6-0. I know Forest Green are bottom of the league, but they drew with us. We drew with them, sorry, at their place not long ago. And we really struggled there and probably should have lost that game. And so to do it in such, you know, emphatic fashion, and yes, wouldn't it have been great for the story if it had gone to the very, very end? That had to go to Crewe and needed a result, and how tasty that could have been, and had to have faced Stockport. But now we've got that luxury. We can sort of relax. It's a weird thing to say before the end of the season.
Before we come on to the game on Saturday, really quickly, and obviously this is brand new, you're not quite sure, but if you were expecting promotion this season, what's the expectation going to be for next season?
So probably not promotion. I think that's been the expectation for the last two seasons. And I'm a very tough man to please. I expect a lot from Wrexham. Next season, I think there's an argument to say that Wrexham almost need a year of consolidation, because in my mind, I think there could be an element of too much too soon if Wrexham get to the Championship. And I mean that in the sense of the club is still playing catch up by going up to Division 3. We haven't been there since 2005, and everything's happening really, really quickly. And while that's really great for the fan base and the global fans now that have come on board through the documentary and everything, the club needs to catch up. We've got that temporary stand that Crewe will have seen, obviously. Well, I don't know. They wouldn't have seen because it was not by then. So, you know, we've got a temporary stand in it around December. We've had that, and that's been great. That's been really beneficial, getting four sides back to the ground. But we need to build the proper fourth stand, and that's going to take 11 months. And that wipes out maybe the whole of next season if they can get it started in the summer. You know, a lot of people will be missing out on tickets. Things like that make me think, look, we got a lot of growing to do off the pitch, maybe more so on it. And on it, I think, you know, we need to make a number of signings. The goalkeeper that's been one of the best in the division for us, he's on loan. You know, no guarantee he stays. He's got offers from right up across the pyramid. You know, previously was of Crewe, right? Arthur Okonkwo. So, you know, you know him well. He's a very, very good goalkeeper. He could go and might not stay. Defensively, we've got a lot of people that are going to move on. Aaron Hayden, Ben Toza, Jordan Tunnicliffe, all those are out of contract, expected to leave. You know, let's see what James McLean does. He'll be out of contract. I'm sure he stays. Stephen Fletcher, again, he's out of contract. Luke Young, the captain. You know, there are loads of pieces that need replacing. And, you know, so I don't know what that makeup of that team will look like next season. So a very, very long-winded answer to what do I expect for next season. Consolidation, I think.
Okay. Let's move on to the game on Saturday. Now, it could have been much bigger than it is. For you guys, there's a possibility that you might be going for top spot. And for us, it's more about just making sure that the consolidation, that playoff place. Is there any chance that some of these players that are playing for contracts are going to get a run out and Crewe will coast their way into the postseason nice and easily?
It's a good question, because once we won the National League, we went down to Torquay, and that was, you know, all the big guns got a rest, basically. It was, you know, let's get some minutes into players that hadn't really played. And, you know, we weren't at our best, but we'd been on the beach literally and metaphorically that weekend. And I think I don't think Phil Parkinson was that chuffed, really, with kind of the application of that. I think he just felt like he was kind of, you know, Torquay had a lot to play for, trying to stay up and all that, and don't really think he liked it so much. So look, Crewe will be desperate to beat Wrexham, and Wrexham will be desperate to beat Crewe. I really think that, you know, the fans have been looking forward to that game for a long while. It was a 3-3 in the first game. We went down to 10, didn't we? And yeah, I think, look, it's Crewe has been the one. I know we played you in the Bristol Street Motors, and that was a real reserve team that we put out there, and we were chuffed with that, and I'm sure yours was basically a reserve team as well. I think you'll go for it. You need to get some momentum really going into the playoffs. Playoffs are in a weird mix at the minute. Barrow is stumbling and stuttering. Doncaster look like they're mounting a charge, if they can get in, I would probably fancy them for the playoffs. So Crew need a bit of momentum now, especially because I think Barrow are there for the taking. They look like they've run out of steam. And you look, if Crew can get to a playoff final, then who knows? You know, you've got every chance then. For Wrexham, do I think the reserves will play? It'll all depend if that top spot's up for grabs. If Notts County get a draw or a win against Stockport and we can, you know, really put the pressure on going into that final game, I think we'll go full strength. You know, you've got Mullin is what, 3 off the top scorer in League Two. You know, he'll want that. If Crew are licking their wounds a little bit and he can get a brace and go into that final game needing a goal or two goals to finish top scorer, I think he'll be bang up for it. And then, yeah, on the people who haven't got contracts, I think you sort of don't want to say it, but by now that they're not going to get it. It's got to a point now where middle of April, you know, we've known they were going to be out of contract for months and nothing's forthcoming. So I don't think, respectfully, I don't think a performance against Crew is going to suddenly get a piece of paper with a lucrative new deal on it.
Nathan, my final question then for you, what's the score going to be on Saturday?
Good question, isn't it? Every time I come on these opposition shows, I get accused of being arrogant because I always back Wrexham to win. But I'm going to go score draw again. I'll go 2 each. Why not? I think it's, you know, the first game was really good. I thought you were really good. I know we went down to 10. We rallied back well. You just caught us on the hop at the beginning. We didn't know what was happening and just played better football than us. I just think you won't need much motivation. Wrexham in town, it'd be a big sold out away end. And, you know, there'd be that element of Wrexham fans partying, celebrating a lot of, you know, we're up. And I think Crew's players will be desperate to, yes, Wrexham are already up, but you're playing for promotion yourself separately. But I think it'd be a cracking atmosphere.
All right, Nathan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Right then, lastly, just a little thing from me. We're going to run our Player of the Season contest this week. I have, if I'm honest, left it a bit late. The awards are a week on Tuesday, I believe. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, by the time you'll have listened to this, the 4 qualifiers will be up. We'll do it the same as always on Twitter, Facebook, 4 qualifiers. Whoever wins those will be on the final or in the final on Friday. So it is a quick turnaround. We're going to be doing one every day this week. I will be doing it the same as always. Start with the players at the back, work our way forwards to the last one being the strikers. So we've got a bit of difference in the final. Mark, if I was to ask you now, is there really anyone who's going to compete with Mickey for this for you, or has he got this one nailed up?
No, I think it's still Luke Offord for me. I think Mickey will win it. And I also think that Mr. Nevitt has played himself into contention as well, just for the, not just for the goals, but the way that he's just turned out week after week after week and never, ever gives less than 100%.
Steve, who are you going with?
My player is actually Elliot Nevitt. Now, Mickey will win it because he's a great footballer, he's a brilliant human being, and he probably rightly deserves so, but from where Nev's come from last year, he's pretty much carried us, not carried us, probably a bit harsh, but he's, what, 17 goals this season? The turnaround's been amazing. Everyone loves him. So, yeah, for me, Nev gets my vote, but everyone's welcome to vote for whoever they wish for, really.
Adam, Luke Offord, Elliot Nevitt, they're the two for Mark and Steve. Who are you going with?
Yeah, and, you know, I agree with all the reasons Mark and Steve have given for why they'd want to choose. I'd have probably gone for Luke Offord had it not been the fact he got the injury and has been out now for a while. And Nev, although he's, you know, been more consistent now, wasn't even getting on the pitch at the beginning of the season. So I have to go for Mickey. I think he's just been a complete machine. He's very... I can't remember him missing the game. If he has, he's in the top, you know, 3 or 4 goal scorers, so a centre-back. He's up in top assists. He's up there. He's a leader. He's, as everyone said, just generally a decent human being and everything you could have wanted from. He's been that and more so. So in my opinion, I don't think how he can't
You know, there was one tackle on Saturday that emphasised just what we've been missing, and that was like a real good block in the first half against Grimsby. And I just thought, well, at least Mickey's still trying to do something. And I think that emphasised what the character of the man is. So, yeah, I just can't see how he's not going to win it, personally. And I will be voting for him.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for mentioning that you're going to vote, Adam. Like I say, please do make sure you look out on Twitter and Facebook on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the final being Friday. We've got three different votes there for Nevitt, Mickey, and for Offord. I, just to be contrary, would put my hat on Rio Adebisi winning. I think if we did a podcast improved player of the season, there is absolutely no doubt he would win that, and I think he has got a shout of winning player of the season as well. That will do us for this week. Mark, Steve, Adam, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Stu.
And thank you very much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, as ever. We will be back next week. Until then, goodbye. Bomb, 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 bomb